Ever since the pandemic, it really feels as though April Fools on the web has been on serious life support. And aside from the general change in consumption and decimation of brands that used to actually have a good amount of fun with it, the internet just doesn't feel like a fun place to pull little cute little pranks anymore.
No.
It used to be you could see some unicorn poop for sale over on ThinkGeek, or hotel listings and locations for sci-fi and fantasy stories, or video hosting sites overdubbing media with cats meowing or something. Look, it was simpler times. People ate this stuff up. Now every person and company just seems so ground into the dirt, or on the verge of collapse, that pre-planning and executing a fun April Fool's joke that is beloved by all seems like a fool's errand. Especially after people spent at least two of the past four April Fools locked inside their homes with absolutely nothing to laugh at. Now, there are some good little chuckles from this year's holiday, and we'll get to those. But as far as pranks go, nobody made people look like fools quite like Donald Trump and his social media platform, Truth Social.
The real April Fools are those clowns down on Capitol Hill, am I right?
No, the clowns on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Those clowns down on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as you'll remember, Truth Social merged with a shell company called Digital World Acquisition Corporation.
A totally real company.
In order to bring the platform directly onto the U.S. Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol DJT at an absolutely unbelievable valuation that we immediately called bullshit on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a valuation that increased Donald Trump's net worth by about $5 billion almost instantaneously at a time when he really, really needed that money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, despite what the stock market said, the reality of Trump's social media brand is that it was barely hanging on and almost entirely irrelevant, aside from being the one place where Trump can rage post 24 hours a day. I mean, he could rage post on Twitter.
He could,
but he chooses not to.
Well, he's heavily invested in Truth Social, so if he posted elsewhere, it would theoretically devalue it by quite a bit.
That's true. Mm. So the idea that this brand was worth nearly $10 billion is legitimately hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of the situation was just made public, sending the stock, and by extension, the overall value of the company, crashing down.
Yeah. In a conveniently timed filing made to the Securities and Exchange Commission, obviously after the stock went public and allowed the company to balloon in value, the parent company of Truth Social, called Trump Media, announced that the company not only failed to make any money last year, but they actually lost $58 million. A totally normal and operating business. This news sent the stock spiraling, and it ended the day down over 20% from where it started in the morning. Here's CNBC with more. The share price of Trump Media closed trading 21.47% lower on Monday, hours after the social media app company tied to former President Donald Trump reported a net loss of $58.2 million on revenue of just $4.1 million in 2023. Much of the net loss appears to come from $39.4 million in interest expense, according to the filing. A spokesperson for the company did not immediately reply to a request for comment. The company ended 2023 with just $2.7 million in cash on hand, the filing said. This company is not doing well.
Yeah, that's not quite $10 billion.
That is not, no. It's nowhere close. It is not even in the ballpark.
Move the decimal point a couple spaces.
It is from outer space. That's how different these numbers are. $4 million in revenue, $58 million in losses, and a $10 billion valuation. Something doesn't make sense.
Yeah, It continues. The losses last year by Trump Media, the owner of the Truth Social app routinely used by the former president, could continue for some time, according to the company. TMTG expects to incur operating losses for the foreseeable future, says the filing, which came a week after the company began trading under the ticker DJT on the NASDAQ. The filing also warns shareholders that Trump's involvement in the company could put it at greater risk than other social media companies. TMTG also disclosed to regulators that the company had identified material weaknesses in its internal control over financial reporting when it prepared a previous financial statement for the first three quarters of 2023. As of Monday, Trump Media said these identified material weaknesses continue to exist. Yeah, we're fucked. We're not doing great. Our business model has serious flaws. But folks, you're gonna wanna buy the stock.
It doesn't matter what the company's actually worth. It matters what people will pay for it.
I mean, that is objectively true. That is how the stock market works.
I do love in CNBC's reporting on these filings saying that Trump might hurt this company by continuing to post there. And it's like, buddy, he's the only reason this company has any value at all.
Without Trump, there is no Truth Social.
There's no company.
There's a few more suspicious bits of info from the filing, like the fact that the company claimed to have made over $50 million in profit back in 2022, despite only having $1.5 million in revenue, which obviously doesn't make any sense.
No.
And they attempt to wave this away in the filing with that last part about the material weaknesses in its internal control over financial reporting.
We don't know what's going on inside the company. Our financial reporting is way off. It looks like we made $55 million, but I have no idea where that came
from. I fire up the Excel and the sparks start coming out of the computer. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm all thumbs when it comes to reporting these finances.
Beep, 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 beep.
So, yeah, I mean, the numbers are off wildly. And sure, we probably valued the company way higher than it ever needed to be valued. But you could see that we've been having problems internally. And that's why. And by the way, according to the filing, those problems are going to persist.
They will.
Buckle up.
For the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, couple that with the fact that the company told investors it lost $58 million only after going public. And this could end up being yet another legal nightmare for Team Trump. Sorry. and just yet another example of the glorious special purpose acquisition company, SPAC, curse.
Yeah.
No, I don't think a single company has launched as an SPAC and not just gone to dog shit immediately.
What do you mean? The gamers didn't get filthy rich investing in FaZe Clan?
I mean, I'm sure a few of them did.
Well, the FaZe Clan guys sold the stock immediately. They made money. Yeah. But it's very rare, I feel like, for an SPAC to do extremely well. But
there's reasons why the process for getting listed on the stock exchange is usually quite rigorous.
Yeah.
And
they cheat their way into it by doing the SPAC way.
It's good to be that rigorous, not only for the SEC, but also for the company itself to maybe be able to stop and realize, hey, maybe we shouldn't be on the stock market.
I mean, literally, WeWork is the perfect example.
Yeah, WeWork couldn't do it the right way, so now they're an SPAC, and I don't think...
Well, when they tried to do it the right way, everyone was like, oh, this company doesn't make any money.
Right.
This company is worthless.
This company is going to be losing money for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. But while this might turn into, as is tradition, another legal nightmare for Trump, especially just when he puts his name on any product, this is how it always ends up. So, and we said that last week. But for everyone else, especially the people dumb enough to purchase stock in Truth Social, they have no one to blame but themselves when they lose everything. I mean, who? Who could have possibly seen this coming? Well, literally anyone.
Yeah, I saw it coming.
We even mentioned the dubious valuation of this company the second the merger was announced and it was going to hit the stock market. And we're just humble content farmers, folks. We don't got the big brains like the people up in New York City or the politicians over in D.C.
Yeah, or the fat cats down
in Mar-a-Lago.
In Mar-a-Lago or the cigar-chomping eggheads up in Silicon Valley.
I'm just a humble content farmer.
Yeah.
You say something like New York City.
Yeah, my hat just, I got to start fanning myself with my hat because I'm sweating.
Good gracious.
Trying to keep up with this high level conversation.
But look, even if you took a quick glance at the company's headquarters in, you guessed it, Sarasota, Florida, you would see that this is not a serious business. The silver lining here is the fact that, as we mentioned in our video last week, Trump cannot legally sell his shares in the company for 6 months. And we hope and predict that the value of this grift will continue to plummet.
You know, it is appropriate if you're starting a company that is just perpetually underwater, what better place than Florida?
On the coast of Florida?
The coast of Florida. Yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah. Hopefully his campaign goes in the same direction. And if this Trump rally in Georgia over the weekend is any indication, things are not looking good, folks. Here you go.
God bless you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, I'm glad I put my black jacket and that didn't work out.
But you know who is looking good? Donald Trump. Woo! Look at that skinny zaddy.
Body by Ozempic. He is the best spokesperson you could possibly have.
He actually, there is some debate. Some people are saying this might not be good because when you lose that kind of weight at that age, you look a little weird. And part of his appeal before, I think, was that he was just this sort of big pear-shaped man.
Yeah, he's like...
Now he's just a big wrinkly pencil.
He's like Kim in North Korea. You gotta be kind of heavy to represent the king.
Yeah, you gotta
be the king.
You gotta have a certain amount of girth.
Yeah. Otherwise, people are like, is Trump eating good?
You need a regal girthiness to project power.
Yeah.
Anyway, not to be outdone by his father, Donald Trump Jr. recently claimed that Joe Biden, who is Catholic, had his Department of Justice go after Catholics, categorized them as terrorists, and had the FBI track everyone who purchased the Holy Bible. Just so you know where his head's been lately.
Yeah, check this out.
Biden's DOJ treated Catholics like terrorists. If you were a practicing Catholic, you were a domestic terrorist. If you bought a Bible, you were marked by your banks, and that information was given to said FBI and DOJ. They think church-going patriots are terrorists. And Biden's White House reportedly banned religious symbols from Easter celebrations. Remember, folks, this is an attack on Christianity. They would never do that. My eyes are rolling so far back into the head, they almost did a 360.
Yeah, I can tell you where that dude's nose has been lately, at least. Nostril deep in that clown powder.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, like he's a real April Fool, this Donald Trump Jr.
You did it again. You brought the holiday into the video, and I appreciate you for it. Even though this video is going up on April 2nd, which is the biggest trick of all.
Yeah, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, before we get into all the many, many April Fool's Day pranks for this year, and there are so many of them, let's dive nose first into the world of conservative conspiracy theories once again, because last week we spoke about the solar eclipse and how it would drive right-wing weirdos insane because they would see it as proof that renewable energy is flawed.
Yeah, there you go, libs.
However, that prediction was far too normal for these freaks because the depths at which their brains will go in an attempt to make sense of the world around them, it has reached fascinating new levels, heretofore unforeseen.
The verified Twitter account Concerned Citizen has a few ideas about the real reason that the upcoming solar eclipse has specifically chosen its path across the United States. And while he's obviously just asking questions, the poster seems to be alluding to the idea that the solar eclipse might be responsible for every historic event of the past few decades.
We're going back to like fucking Aztec, like pre-Columbian society with this.
This is wild shit. This is the kind of stuff you would see at the supermarket tabloid section in the 90s, right next to Bat Boy.
Like, how does this work?
Did the solar eclipse predict JFK's assassination? You be the judge.
So, not only is the sun sentient, the sun and the moon are both sentient, and they're in collusion with each other.
Yeah. Well, the way I would see it is that, you know, this has happened for all of humanity. So humanity lines up where this is going to be happening, and they make sure that many critical moments throughout history happen along this specific path.
Yeah. Undeniable.
Just consult your parents.
Consult your Nostradamus, Mayan calendar.
Your parents' Nostradamus book that they bought in the year 2001.
It's all there.
He was making a lot of sense back in 2001.
He was.
Just specifically after the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, this is amazing stuff. It's real big brain stuff that's happening right now on the public timeline for anyone to read from an account that describes themselves as, quote, a U.S. and U.K.-based father, conspiracy realist / coincidence analyzer, data interpreter, reject woke ideology, whose pronouns are fuck and off.
Oh, damn.
No mRNA, and stop geoengineering. Definitely a stable person whose posts should be algorithmically boosted on Elon Musk's platform.
Yeah, this man's the protagonist of reality, and I want to see more of his takes.
He paid that $8, and you're going to see what he has to say. Now, this person posted a map of the path that the solar eclipse will take across the country and added the following.
This is the apparent path of the solar eclipse on April 8th. That's a hell of a lot of coincidences right there. Okay. And on the map, which honestly covers about a third of the entire country, so obviously there's going to be a million coincidences if you simply look for them. The following events are highlighted along the path of the eclipse. Get ready, folks. The Eagle Pass, Texas border area. The Uvalde school shooting. The Waco massacre, the JFK assassination, the Bill Clinton's birthplace.
What?
Rose Law Firm? Whitewater, Jonesboro school shooting, Padua school shooting, Mike Pence's birthplace, Kent State massacre, East Palestine train derailment, Buffalo mass shooting, and of course, you know, the Finger Lakes.
Yeah, what are they up to?
Lakes don't look like that. What the fuck is that? The lakes look like fingers. Whose hand? Whose giant hand touched the earth and created that lake?
The hand of God. That's why they call them the Finger Lakes.
I do love including mass casualty events in something like this, because you could close your eyes and throw 100 darts at a giant map of the United States, and 90% at least would land on the location where some horrible catastrophe has happened involving
yes.
guns.
And not to mention, the path of the solar eclipse goes across legitimately a third of the entire country.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happens.
So, you could point out, I guarantee you could point out a million other things that happened along this path. You could probably point out, I don't know, 12 really good things that happened across this path too.
Yeah, a lot of things have happened across this giant line through the entire southern half of the United States. Wow, holy shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, more than a legitimate coincidence, this is a free peek into the minds of conservative conspiracy-pilled folks.
Yeah.
Equating the birth of people like Bill Clinton and Mike Pence with assassinations and mass shootings is something
yeah.
for sure. Also, yeah, man, there's a lot of school shootings in this country. We should probably do anything at all to stop that. But as the community notes, here the community notes is pulling up. As they pointed out, there is no conspiracy. If you took a cross-section of any area of the United States, you could, as the OP has done, label countless incidents and events.
I don't know. This guy deserves his own magazine at the checkout aisle, I think.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, if anything, it would be exciting to live this person's life because, you know, for the
there's always something going on.
Yeah, for the rest of us, life is pretty boring a lot of the time. But this guy, just even the most mundane occurrences are just a glimpse into some insane conspiracy so vast and complex that he, you know.
I mean, that's what I think is fascinating, is you kind of do get an idea of the brains of this specific type of poster, because they're like, okay, there's the border. Big problem.
Yeah.
There's Uvalde. Here's some more school shootings here. Got the Finger Lakes.
What did the sun know and when did it know it?
Then, conveniently, right where Bill Clinton was born, right where Mike Pence was born, two of apparently this guy's least favorite politicians throughout time, for reasons
yeah.
I feel like he would, well, probably not struggle to tell you, but to make sense of, I think. Anyway, should we go over some of the best April Fool's Day pranks from this year, guys? What are they saying? What's the crowd saying? Well, we'll get to those in a minute. Instead, let's talk about that Titanic recreation that's being attempted, once again, by Australia's least favorite billionaire, Clive Palmer. We somehow have a slight update on the sequel to the Titanic, which is a project that has been talked about for years now and was only recently reignited by the eccentric billionaire. Luckily for him, he waited to really put the time and effort into recreating the Titanic
yeah.
until wokeness was a thing. Because if he'd be pretty upset with himself if he'd built the Titanic 2 and he had done this 10 years ago and he didn't go out of his way to make sure it was the most anti-woke luxury cruise ship on Earth. If he'd actually completed it when he originally was supposed to, who knows how much wokeness could have snuck its way onto the ship.
Yeah.
Considering that no one back then gave a shit about wokeness or were even aware of it.
So you know how, like, they're putting tampons and pads in men's rooms now?
Mm.
Well, on the Titanic 2, they don't even have those in the women's room.
No.
You just free bleed on the ground because that shit hasn't been invented yet.
Exactly.
Go grab a rag and hide in your room for the next 7 days. We don't want to see you. We don't want to hear you.
Welcome to the Titanic 2, Electric Boogaloo.
If James Cameron made the Titanic today, instead of getting Kate Winslet's big, beautiful breasts, we would have probably had some uggos and her disgusting, misshapen, flat-chested breasts.
Or he would have been drawing Billy Zane's giant dong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leo would have been, he would have been some sort of Latino.
But
instead of, what is he, Irish? I don't know what it is.
At the very least, Clive Palmer's not saying you can't build the Titanic today because of the woke. He's saying we can.
We must. We must build the Titanic.
We are going to go and do the other thing.
We got to build the Titanic in this day and age.
Yeah.
What with all the wokeness.
But not in the path of any eclipses. Now or in the future.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be doomed again. We're taking all of this into consideration.
They should only sail that northern hemisphere path in the dead of winter so that you get like 2 hours of sunlight.
Yeah. Well, and obviously the Titanic 2
just to avoid any eclipses.
It's going
to
be an icebreaker. Yeah. That's the first thing on the list because you know what took out the first one? Well, wokeness, but also the iceberg.
But also wokeness.
It was actually the the guy in the bird's nest was reading up on critical race theory when he should have been looking out for icebergs.
Yeah, the pilot of the captain of the Titanic, he was a DEI hire. Look how that turned out.
Yep, there you go, folks.
DEI was a little different back then. They're like, this guy has like a few drops of Irish blood in him.
Yeah.
So he obviously the idea that he could ever pilot
would
a plane.
Would you trust this guy piloting your ship?
Absolutely not.
No. It's a loose episode because it's April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Sorry for...
You're the fool.
Yeah. So anyways, now that wokeness is a major conservative talking point, Clive Palmer is making sure that this boat is going to be free from woke. Okay?
Woke free boats.
Yes.
Here's Rolling Stone, who recently interviewed Clive Palmer himself and asked him about the potential for outside financing, which he doesn't want to get involved with because it might hinder him from making certain decisions when it comes to the final product. We don't need to take mums and dads' money. If anyone loses any money, it's me. And I'm happy to lose money at this age. We can make instant decisions about what we want to do without worrying about the consequences. We haven't got to have a committee sit here and say, oh, should we do this? What will the SEC say? It'll be a COVID vaccine-free environment. Wait, what?
What a weird turn in a sentence, yeah.
Okay. The author then asks, vaccine-free? How? With Palmer replying, we won't have any. We don't believe people should be compelled. You might be aware of it, but I recently funded a case in Queensland where we had the vaccines declared unlawful because we believe that impeded on individual choice and freedom.
Again, what a right turn from what he was saying previously. Like, yeah, we don't need anyone looking into our business. We're going to make this ship exactly the way we want it to. And by the way,
this is especially funny because the cruise ship industry of all industries was probably the most negatively affected by like the entire like period in which COVID was like truly a global pandemic.
It was also a petri dish for it.
Like there was like, I remember it was like a full year after it started and they're like, okay, I got enough time passed. We can start doing those cruises again. And just like immediately, like day two, just like, all right, everyone needs to stay inside of their windowless room 24 hours a day. We will bring you food and slip it under the door because everyone's got COVID.
Wouldn't you know it?
Have a great trip.
Yeah. Also the idea of completely... Not without mentioning the fact that it is going to be a recreation of the fucking Titanic. The idea that Clive Palmer thinks that he will have absolutely no oversight into the construction of this boat.
Yeah, like, I don't think the SEC, that's okay, that's one. But I believe Australia, like all normal countries, you know, has governing bodies for things like giant ships.
I feel like there's going to be some regulations he's going to run into.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, we're going to make it safe, and we will not make the same mistake.
That's a Clive Palmer promise.
So anyways, the author asks if, however, vaccinated people will be allowed on board. And there's good news. Vaccinated people can ride on the Titanic,
too.
Oh,
thank God.
He said, yeah, we've got to extend our hand in love and friendship for people being vaccinated, despite the side effects. We have to look after them.
What side effects?
He's like, we'll take care of you. Well, come
no,
here.
No, I'm fine, Clive.
Come here. We'll take
Wait,
good care
is
of you.
Clive Palmer not vaccinated? Because just look at this man. He has every risk factor. He's old. He looks like a fucking... He looks like a giant grape.
He kind of... He does kind of resemble a healthier, but a healthier Don Vito.
I mean, yeah, there's definitely similarities. But yeah, Clive Palmer, like if this man were to get COVID, he would die.
Yeah. Well, he's going to die doing what he loves, recreating the Titanic too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks for the protection, buddy. I think we're good, though. And this conversation inevitably led to the mention of wokeness and how the Titanic 2 will reflect, quote, traditional values as opposed to woke values, which is something, again, a complete non sequitur that he said during his press conference in Sydney. He's just like, and by the way, don't get it twisted. This is the anti-woke cruise ship.
Okay.
Here's Clive Palmer rambling about what that means in a way that reminds us all that conservatives still cannot define the term woke.
It's insane that that's a word that is being used outside of the United States in places like Australia and the UK.
Not to get off topic once again, but there is a video that's going around right now of someone laughing at Chaya from Lives of TikTok. And then she's like, oh, what are you laughing at? He goes, why don't you just explain to me what woke is? And she, again, cannot do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, here's his response. There's been a concept in society that you can cancel people. I think you know what I mean by canceled people. And we think that's a terrible concept. The United States was founded on the rights of men to be different.
You don't even live here. You are Australian, sir.
The diversity that we've had in our economy.
Our?
In our intellectual development has really meant that's developed our society to a higher level.
Whose society?
I'm talking about Western society.
Oh, okay.
In general. So the French Revolution, the American Revolution.
Two very different revolutions, sir.
All those things were brought about by individuals claiming their rights to express an opinion or view. I mean, you should have the right to be wrong.
I feel like this, the French Revolution is such a funny thing to like lump in there because like, if there was ever an, if there was ever an incidence of cancel culture truly going wild, the French Revolution, I think, would qualify.
Sure. Yeah.
But okay. So yeah, this is all very bizarre. It's a rambling response. What are you talking about, sir? His original statement during the most recent press conference simply read, "We think about the musicians who played as the ship sank, the rescuers, the engineers. We also think about the Titanic and how it was designed by the Irish and other designers. We also remember the thousands of lives saved by the Titanic disaster because of the changes made to lifeboats and watertight compartments. All of those things we should appreciate as part of our culture, part of our story. The only way we can really do that is by remembering that, promoting that, and putting it out there as a value that we can live with. And we see in a time when traditional values are under threat by woke people who believe we aren't Australians, that we don't all have the same rights, I want to put those very revolutionary, very unorthodox ideas out in this particular time of turmoil." Okay, I'm still no closer to understanding what the hell you mean by woke.
He's saying you can't have the Irish dancing jigs down there in the damn bowels of the ship because of the woke anymore. But he doesn't care. He's putting those Irish dancers down there.
Is he blaming the Irish for the first Titanic sinking?
Well, without DEI, how would you have gotten Irish people building these ships?
I tell you, if they'd built that ship in an English port, instead of trying to save some money doing it over in Belfast, wouldn't have gone down like that.
Also,
I imagine that is a sentiment that probably a huge population in the UK seriously held back then.
I would venture to guess
they
correct.
Open up the newspaper, all the Titanic. Those fucking micks. Those damn Irish.
They probably did it on purpose.
Yeah, this is why you never have a ship built in Northern Ireland.
God, we are fucking off on tangents today. It's fine, it's April Fool's Day.
Yeah. So yeah, we are maybe one press conference away from this guy claiming that the Titanic 2 simply can't be built correctly because of DEI.
That's going to be his excuse when, because this obviously, as we said before, is not going to happen.
No.
So when it inevitably does not happen, he's going to be like, well, unfortunately, we've been canceled by the woke mob once again. And
oh, well.
I guess I'll just have to buy some more zoos and turn them into Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all right. On to the best April Fool's jokes of 2024. But first, this is no joke. And if it was, it would be the most insane April Fool's joke ever. With what we assume would be multiple people being fired and or arrested, considering that this company is based in Germany. And also, this company just weathered a few years of having a spokesperson and designer of one of their most successful products come out as a full-blown Nazi. Adidas is under fire for releasing a soccer jersey with customizable graphics that resemble the logo of the SS Nazi paramilitary group. The group that carried out the majority of the Holocaust and had their hands in countless atrocities during World War II. Yes, Adidas, a German company,
Adidas as they call it there.
True. Dropped a jersey for the German soccer team, which looked like it had the SS logo printed on the back of it if the user added the number 44 to it. So they immediately had to pull that specific design from their stores as a result. And here's the jersey.
Yeah. Hey, isn't it cool to make the number 4 look like a lightning bolt? All we have to do is ensure that no one puts two of them next to each other.
Yeah, that could be misinterpreted.
Yeah.
It looks suspicious. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's okay as long as someone wearing it doesn't lean over slightly, because then it's blatant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty bad. It's got the German colors on it and everything. It's pretty in your face.
Have you ever seen the logo that KISS uses when they tour Germany?
It's a different, they have to change it.
They have to change it because they have the S's in the KISS logo.
Here's the BBC with more on this.
Adidas has banned football fans from buying German football kits customized with the number 44 after media raised their resemblance to the symbols used by World War II-era Nazi SS units. "We will block personalization of the jerseys," an Adidas spokesman said. SS units were the most responsible for the crimes against humanity committed by the Nazis. The newly released kit has also caused controversy with its choice of pink for the away colors.
To a lesser extent, we're also mad about them making the jerseys pink.
I'm equally mad at those two things.
Yeah.
The symbolism issue was first raised by historian Michael Koenig, who said the design of the kits was very questionable. The SS rune was designed in 1929 for use by the Nazi units. Members of the SS ranged from Gestapo agents to concentration camp guards. SS duties included administering death camps where millions of Jews and others were put to death. Adidas spokesman Oliver Bruggen denied that the kit's resemblance to the Nazi symbols was intentional. "We as a company are committed to opposing xenophobia, anti-Semitism, violence, and hatred in every form," he said. Adidas separately told the BBC that the German Football Association, DFB, and its partners had designed the numbers on the shirts. In a post on Twitter, the DFB said the shirt designs had been submitted to UEFA for review during the design process and that none of the parties involved saw any proximity to Nazi symbolism. They added that an alternative design for the number 4 would be developed. That's the funniest thing is like, this was an alternative design for the number 4. I think the lesson here is leave the number 4 alone.
Yeah.
We all know what a number 4 looks like, and you tried to do things a little differently, and look what happened.
Yeah. You messed up.
Numbers look the way they look for a reason. Stop fucking with numbers.
But you're asking yourselves, when are they gonna get to the April Fool's joke?
Come on, I need the pranks.
Well, we can tell you what's not a joke. Waking up in a Russian hospital after an attack, and the thing you see is Steven Seagal dressed as a doctor at your bedside, ready to comfort you and tell you that everything's going to be okay.
Oh, I'm dead, and I'm in hell.
And that is Steven Seagal, and he's my doctor? We're not going to discuss this further because we don't want to come off as mean to the patient here, but it is undoubtedly a completely bizarre image from this past weekend.
Don't they have their own celebrities in Russia?
No.
Like, I know Steven Seagal, he lives there now for some reason, but like, I imagine there's got to be like Russians who are famous.
Mm-mm.
Did they seriously import Steven Seagal because they were just like that lacking in like star power?
Well, look at his humanitarian efforts. She is showing up.
It's Steven Seagal and the Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah.
Is another one who like lives in Russia for some fucking
reason. In America, they send Batman or like LeBron James or something.
Yeah.
In Russia, they send their greatest export, Steven Seagal.
And import.
Yep. He's import, he's export. He is a martial arts master.
Yeah.
He looks great.
He looks good.
If anyone needs to be on Ozempic, I feel like they should
not
be
him.
Importing stuff for him. But anyways, there you go. Just a very bizarre image. And you know what else isn't a joke besides its silly name? The bird flu.
Oh, no.
And someone over in Texas was just diagnosed with it. A human got the bird flu. And it is already sparking fears of yet another pandemic. Also, yeah, this definitely lines up with the path of the upcoming solar eclipse because the person that got bird flu was in Texas. And that's where the eclipse is going. So that's pretty spooky. Health officials are urging the public to not get all riled up about it. It's just one guy with one bird flu. How bad could it be? Here's NBC News with more.
A person in Texas has been diagnosed with bird flu, an infection tied to the recent discovery of the virus in dairy cows, health officials said Monday. Wait, that's cow? What? I was told this was bird flu.
Cows got it, and if you're not careful, you might get the mad cow disease, too. We're bringing back all the late 90s, early 2000s diseases. We got measles. You got the mumps.
MSG.
Yeah, it's back, baby. So
health officials say the person had been in contact with cows presumed to be infected and the risk to the public remains low. Last week, dairy cows in Texas and Kansas were reported to be infected with bird flu, and federal agriculture officials later confirmed infections in a Michigan dairy herd that had recently received cows from Texas. The virus has been found in hundreds of mammal species globally in recent years. This bird flu was first identified as a threat to people during a 1997 outbreak in Hong Kong. More than 460 people have died in the past 2 decades from bird flu infections, according to the World Health Organization. The vast majority of infected people got it directly from birds, but scientists have been on guard for any sign of spread among people. I just want to point out how insane it is that bird flu, while certainly dangerous, has always been a threat to our generation, while having a body count of only 460, which seems pretty tame after, you know, what we just went through with COVID,
yeah,
which killed millions of people across the globe, over 1 million in the U.S. alone.
Yeah.
Really puts shit in perspective. Of course, you can simply choose to not believe those numbers, yeah, and it doesn't put shit in perspective.
Clive Palmer said, no bird flu allowed on the Titanic.
No. No.
We want to respect everyone, but no bird flu. No birds at all.
What about, like, polio?
That's I'm sure that's right around the corner.
Yeah, we're bringing that back.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of reruns, did you know that the cicadas are back? And in greater numbers?
Every year is somehow like, oh, the craziest cicada year. That's not possible that every year could be the craziest cicada.
Well, Elliot, this one, they're calling it Cicada-geddon.
No, nope, don't believe you.
Cicada-geddon is right around the corner.
This is just a way to sell, I don't know, cars? Come on down to the
cicada killer.
Come on down to Montgomery Ford for Cicada-geddon. You hear that? That's low prices.
You hear that buzzing sound? That's my manager. He's riding my back. I got to sell these cars. I'm going to give you the deal of a lifetime. So yeah, of course, it seems like just yesterday we were talking about the massive thunderous roar of the cicadas as they return to our world from the damp, cozy depths below, playing their annoying, deafening sound for everyone to hear and covering the air and the ground below with their little insect bodies. And after 3 weeks straight of playing Helldivers, you'll have to excuse us for getting so disgusted and bloodthirsty upon hearing the news that these filthy insects have returned.
Yeah, I'm calling in an eagle.
Did they learn nothing from the battles on Meridia? I guess not. Here's the Associated Press with more on the return of the cicadas. Trillions of evolution's bizarro wonders, red-eyed, periodical cicadas that have pumps in their heads and jet-like muscles in their rears, are about to emerge in numbers not seen in decades and possibly centuries.
Okay.
Crawling out from underground every 13 or 17 years with a collective song as loud as jet engines, the periodical cicadas are nature's kings of the calendar. These black bugs with bulging eyes differ from their greener-tinged cousins that come out annually. They stay buried year after year until they surface and take over a landscape, covering houses with shed exoskeletons and making the ground crunchy.
Covering houses with shit.
My house is covered in shit.
This spring, an unusual cicada double dose is about to invade a couple parts of the United States in what University of Connecticut cicada expert John Cooley called Cicada-geddon. The last time these two birds came out together in 1803, Thomas Jefferson, who wrote about cicadas in his garden book but mistakenly called them locusts, was president.
Garden book? Sounds like woke shit to me.
Periodic cicadas don't do subtle, Cooley said. If you're fascinated by the upcoming solar eclipse, the cicadas are weirder and bigger, said Georgia Tech biophysicist Saad Bamla. We've got trillions of these amazing living organisms come out of the earth, climb up on trees, and it's just a unique experience. A sight to behold, Bamla said. It's like an entire alien species living underneath our feet, and then some prime number of years they come out to say hello. The largest geographic brood in the nation, called Brood XIX, and coming out every 13 years, is about to march through the southeast, having already created countless boreholes in the red Georgia clay. It's a sure sign of the coming cicada occupation. Soon after the insects appear in large numbers in Georgia and the rest of the southeast, cicada cousins that come out every 17 years will inundate Illinois. They are Brood XIII. You've got one very widely distributed brood in Brood XIX, but you have a very dense, historically abundant brood in the Midwest, your Brood XIII, said University of Maryland entomologist Mike Raup. And when you put those two together, you would have more than anywhere else any other time, University of Maryland entomologist Paula Shrewsbury said. They're in different locations. This is bullshit. You're lying.
No, they're going to mix together and they're going to turn into one giant walking cicada.
Last year or the year before, they actually overlapped not only by year, but geographically. You're just describing, oh, multiple parts of the country are going to have cicadas. Shut up.
The fact remains, Elliot, trillions in the United States alone. And we have to do our duty to spread democracy to these cicadas.
I will. Yeah, no, they got to go.
Yeah, I got something for those cicadas right here. Is it right, down, down, up, up, left, down, down? Okay, that should do the trick. An orbital strike.
Get out of there. It's coming in.
The only good bug is a dead bug. Okay, we don't really believe that. We're just April fooling. We understand that insects have their role in our ecosystem, and our entire planet is a finely tuned machine that needs all plants and animals working together in order to survive, which is why humans are fucking doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since I've been, like, digging around in my backyard.
Digging holes, as you do as a grown man.
I come across so many fucking grubs. I believe they're Japanese beetles, because in the summer, we get just, like, a ton of those.
Yeah.
They're very annoying. No sense of personal space.
A lot of protein in those bugs.
They fly right up to yours. But, yeah, digging around in the dirt, they're disgusting. These are just a giant, just, like, pulsating pupae.
Do you scream, "I had family in Buenos Aires," as you stop them?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. Anyway, that's it for today's episode.
Yeah.
We will be back soon for Tech News Day and more. Make sure you like the video.
Please like the video.
No sponsors, so please click the join button.
If you want to support the show financially, the join button's there for you to click, but click the like button.
Leave a comment and make sure you watch our most recent videos right over there.
What did we talk about in Weekly Weird? Oh, the book Bound in Flesh.
Yeah, the skin book.
And
the
then Harvard we got News Dump. Book. You'll watch them. Please watch them.
Yeah, and
Fuck, we forgot to do the best April Fool's jokes from